Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
our local sitar shop
down in the sitar district. All right, Patrick, we're getting close to the top five Rolling Stone songs.
Feel
in the countdown.
It coming around the corner. It's like the headlights just cresting the rise. It's
That's
very
right.
close.
So all this week, we're counting down Rolling Stone songs as voted on by listeners of this podcast. We are hanging out here at Mike Wagner's house.
Yeah.
We have good music, good friends, good beer, and tacos. Yes.
That's right.
So, man, this is a good night. All right. Let's see. Before we get back into the countdown... There was something you wanted to discuss.
Yeah. You know, I thought Jay Ignacio had a really interesting take on the poll. He submitted his ballot, and he put a little note that said, I'm not a huge Rolling Stones fan, but I do like the hits. But what I really love is covers of the Stones. So if you will allow me, here are my 10 favorite Rolling Stones covers, not in order. So let me read these out. First, I'm Free by the Soup Dragons.
I was going to say that
I
one.
Love that
That's a
version.
Great one. Yeah.
We know it from The World's End, starring Simon Pegg.
I'm free to do what I want any old time.
Soup Dragons. I remember this one.
I put this on a tape for you, didn't I?
Yeah, this is it.
This is the tape?
Yeah, look.
Where'd you find it?
Who's in the tape player?
Second, I Can't Get No Satisfaction by
Devo.
Wild Horses by the Sundays. As Tears Go by
Marianne Faithful.
Under My Thumb by Social Distortion. That was an interesting one. I've never heard that. Huh. Let's Spend the Night Together by David Bowie. Miss Amanda Jones, a favorite of Hunter Bennett. And I think you had, did you have that on your ballot as well?
I did.
By the March Violets. Are you familiar with that cover? Okay.
No.
Start Me Up by Toots and the Maytals.
Oh, cool.
Street Fighting Man by Rage Against the Machine. That's a great cover.
Oh, interesting. That makes sense.
And one of my favorite all-time Stones covers by one of my favorite bands, The Feelies, doing Paint It Black. So, if you haven't heard that, check it out. I think it's a bonus track on the Crazy Rhythms album. Muddy Lemon Drops are another great one. Yeah.
Paint It Black?
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that.
I haven't either.
I got to write that down.
All right.
So, thank you, Jay, for doing a little spin on the... on the poll. I appreciate that.
I love it. And, you know, Patrick, you picked the perfect time to read that list.
Did I?
Because this is number 6 on the countdown.
I see a line of cars and they are painted black, with flowers and my love hope never to come back.
I see people turn their heads and quickly look away, like a newborn baby, it just happens every day.
I look inside myself and see my heart. I see my red door, I must have it painted black.
Maybe then I'll fade away and not have to face the facts. It's not easy facing up when your whole world is black.
No more will my green seagull turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you.
If I look hard enough into the setting sun.
All right, of course, Paint It Black.
Yeah.
From 1966, an Aftermath album. Number one single in the United States, Paint It Black.
Paint It Black. Let's talk briefly, Jim, as an editor, a wordsmith yourself, about the comma.
I've always What's wondered going about on about comma?
That? I don't
Paint
know.
It
yeah.
Black.
I'm not sure. I don't I'm know. Sure Does either. Nick Scalera know? I feel like if anybody would know, he might know.
Yeah, I did not use the comma when I typed this out because it doesn't seem appropriate.
Right. Yeah, I've never gotten it. I don't really understand it. Yeah. But
do you speak English?
Exactly. If somebody out there knows why it's painted black, then let us know.
Yeah.
I'll also say this is the song that spawned a lot of bad hippie records in the late 60s and early 70s. And I know because I have some of them, but people were like, I got to get a sitar now, you know. This may be the hardest the sitar ever rocks in musical history. Yeah.
What was the deal with the sitar this era, right? So you had like the Stones, the Beatles, the Yardbirds. Like there was a lot of like sitar happening.
Yeah. People were just picking up, you know, sitars at their local sitar shop, I
guess. Right. Down in the sitar district.
That's right. Yeah. That's where they were all hanging out. The cool kids were in the sitar district.
Yeah. How do people feel about Paint It Black? Tim Hoffman has thoughts.
We were talking a few days ago. Do you remember when we were on the deck a few days ago and we were talking about Monterey Pop Festival? That topic came up.
Yeah, earlier in the week. Yep.
Yeah, earlier, days ago, way back. And this reminded me of like one of my favorite covers of a Rolling Stones song of Paint It Black, but not by any of the folks that you mentioned in your list, Patrick, but by Eric Burdon and War.
Wow.
On an album, double album called Black Man's Burden. And the album starts off with a cover of Paint It Black. And it's just like, just really frenetic, like congos. It's just like going 100 miles an hour. And then Eric Burdon like scatting at first. Like, and I saw the title on the record. I'm like, okay, where's this going? But then he starts getting into the song, and then there's a little spoken word poetry in the middle of it, and it comes back to Paint It Black. But it's a really, really very, very cool version of the song, which is a different arrangement. But then in that Monterey Pop Festival movie, like that's the version, that's the one song of Eric Burdon and War's set on stage that they played. It didn't come out live, didn't work out live, but on that record, check it out. It's just a really, really cool record called Eric Burdon and War, Black Man's Burden. But that version of the song got me back into early Rolling Stones.
Oh, really?
Like,
wow.
Go back and like listen to their stuff because it's really special. I mean, this is what, 1970?
66.
66, geez, yeah. So 66 was way before I was like buying music or really listening to music. I was like 3 years old, but
I think that's a really interesting thread too. Covers of songs that got you into a band or got you back into a band. It's kind of interesting.
Rob Gates.
Robert. Disclaimer, because I think we've been drinking for what, 72 hours straight?
Yeah, close to it. Yeah. You need to take a nap. And so do I.
Yes, I do. Anyway, in regards to the comma, on the Reddit thread of Today I Learned, user Shane_Lowe posts 3 years ago, the song Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones was initially released as Paint It comma black due to a clerical error.
Oh no, is that right?
It has since been re-released with the comma removed, but Spotify still displays the comma.
Nice. Score one for Spotify. I like that a lot. That's
also
great.
It's an awesome song. I love the way Mick's voice, you know, explodes just after which really makes it for me.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are very dark and
they are,
you know, a brooding kind of song. Yeah.
Oh, just one more quick thing. When I was younger, I thought that, yesterday, that Red Door was actually Retro.
Oh, no. Is that right?
Yes, that's how I heard it.
I want a retro.
I see a retro and I want it painted black.
Okay. Yeah.
Didn't make a lot of sense, but then again, back in those days, not a lot of rock and roll lyrics made a lot of sense.
That's
so
how,
why not?
Mike Wagner has a point to make.
Oh, well, I thought you guys have been drinking for 72 hours. No. So, Paint It Black just hit over a billion streams on Spotify. Somebody we know wrote an article about billion stream songs.
Oh, yeah, I did.
He did.
I forgot to update this.
You can update it now, Mr. Snyder.
I'm off today.
Oh, well, there you go. And then the other thing is, in his cover song list, mm-hmm. he didn't have Bittersweet Symphony in there.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He was limited to 10. That might have been his, 15th or 16th yeah. pick.
So there you go. But you know the story about Bittersweet Symphony, right?
Yeah. And the Verve.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because they got pinged for it. And
right.
For some reason, they gave up the royalties on it. And then, I don't know the whole
yeah.
story. But
yeah. It's kind of the cool band thing to do.
Yes. Stephen Routledge will be like, oh, the Verve was much better than the Rolling Stones. I'm going to say it like this. Yeah. So I'm sure I'll be getting a note from him when this comes out. So, okay. Thank you.
All right. So we move on. Oh, wait. Mike Snyder. Thing.
So Mike and I have talked about this song a lot. And why is it the top song on Spotify? And it was in one of the Call of Duty video games. There's one reason we think it got a lot of attention. It was in TV ads, and it's in the game itself when you play. So this was like one of the Black Ops games 4 or 5 years ago. So.
Got it. So you've heard it literally hundreds of times
exactly,
while playing
yes,
the game. Yeah,
because
yeah,
if you die, you got to go back.
Let's move on to number 5. Get what you want. 1969 on Let It Bleed.
That's a big one. That's a big, big one. That's the one I thought was going to come out on top.
Is that right?
I did. Yeah. Before we opened up the poll, I was like, I think I'm going with this one.
It's kind of hard to not like that song,
yeah,
right?
It is.
You only hear the beginning here on this program, but the way it builds, it just keeps yeah. building, right? It's
the
just
choir.
A magnificent.
Yeah.
Arrangement, magnificent song.
I found this to be great. David Lee, who voted in our poll, thank you, David, left this comment. You can't always get what you want is the song I heard on the radio, the first song when I came home with our firstborn child. So they put their child in the car to drive home the first time, and that's the first song that came on the radio, and he remembers it because of that. So that's pretty cool. Seared in his memory.
Well, you got what he needed, right?
That's yeah. right. It's a good parenting lesson. That's you can't right. always get what you want.
Yeah.
Child.
I believe this was a B-side, actually. I don't think it was released as its own single, but it was the B-side of Honky Tonk Women.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Double yeah. 45 for your 99 cents
exactly.
at Woolworths. Yeah.
This one features Al Kooper on piano,
yeah.
just for the record. And the other thing is it always reminds me of The Big Chill.
Same here. Yep.
Yeah. Anyone, any thoughts on You Can't Always Get What You Want? Sam Lisker.
All right. I got a couple of thoughts. The first one being, this was one of the first Stone songs I think I ever heard.
Mm.
I know I've talked about this radio station so many times on the show. Big 100.3, I think had this song in circulation a lot in the early aughts.
They did.
And I just remember hearing it coming home from school. And I remember when it opens up with that, with the opera.
Yeah.
With the choir. The choir, I should say. I'm like, what? You know, my brain could not comprehend. Like, those aren't the band members. So what is that? And then I realized this is a song I think a lot of young people should listen to, because there's a moment when you are between the ages of 8 and 13 where things, you feel like the world is literally crashing down on you. And then you realize, wait a minute, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, then you get what you need. And that is something that I think, by the way, this is actually leads to my second point. I don't think the Rolling Stones have realized how much they have taken over that phrase, because whenever somebody says it, they're like, well, as that Stone song says, or as the Rolling Stones say, you can't always get what you want. So I don't know if anybody has asked Mick Jagger about it or any of the band members, but they have effectively claimed that phrase.
Without a doubt.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. This actually happened to me. I mean, I'm not even joking. My mother once said to me, when I was still living at home at the age of like 24 years old, you better take your records advice.
See what I'm saying?
And I was probably laying in bed at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, like,
telling you, they have claimed it.
That's great. I was going to tell Sam that I am much, much older than 8 to 13, and my world is still crashing down around me. Yeah, so.
Well, you know, the brain is underdeveloped, and you're like, oh, my God, you know, it's kids don't have, like, full comprehension of other people around, but, definitely a...
It's a good life lesson, absolutely.
It absolutely is, mm-hmm. Yeah. My favorite flavor, cherry red.
That's right. And I often get my fair share of abuse.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this song? No? We ready to go? Number 4. Horses. Now, this was on Sticky Fingers 1971.
Right.
But another band had recorded this before the Stones.
That's right.
We can talk about that in a little bit. But anyway, this version, Sticky Fingers, was one of those songs recorded at Muscle Shoals.
That's right.
Went to number 28 in the United States. And since we're tracking Rolling Stones pianists, this one is Jim Dickinson.
Again, to plug Stanley Booth's book, True Adventures of the Rolling Stones, they have been up all night in the studio, and I won't quote from it, but I have a copy here now in front of me. They've been up all night. Stanley Booth was there, and one reason apparently Keith likes Stanley Booth is that he could match at that time in Stanley's life. He could match Keith's intake, both pharmaceutically, chemically, and alcoholically. And so they were great friends. But, you know, they were up all night, and it was like this 3, 4, 5 a.m. haze in which they created Wild Horses. And Ian Stewart was there with the Stones, but he didn't want to play the piano because he didn't like minor chords. So that's when the famous Jim Dickinson came over and played the tack piano on song, which really makes it. Yeah. And Mick and Keith, you know, they heard the first playback and they were like, turn the piano up. So they really dug it. Here's a great comment from Kurt Gallagher. I've played Stone songs with friends more than songs by any other artist by far. It's not even close. Stone songs are not that complicated, and they're just fun to play. Many of my choices are based on memories of jamming, his choices in the poll. My neighbor Brian McDaniel sang an amazing version of Wild Horses. We jammed a few times weekly until he moved to New Mexico. Those are some of my sweetest memories.
Wow.
Very nice. And Stephen Routledge chimes in, well, whether Wild Horses is really a Stone song, of course, can be a matter of some debate.
So talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, this was during the time when Mick and Keith especially, was hanging around with Gram Parsons a lot. And, you know, Gram knew a lot of songs and he was writing a lot of songs at the time. So it's kind of unclear during all that jamming and all that hanging out whose song was whose.
Right.
But I think, you know, it's been documented down the Stones' career that they were not afraid to take a copyright and a songwriting credit
right.
when they could get it. So,
right. So I mentioned this was actually released in 1970 by the Flying Burrito Brothers,
right.
Gram Parsons' band.
Mm-hmm.
When we did our old show and we had Jeff Nolan from the Hard Rock Cafe Archivist came on, and he made a case for the notion that Gram Parsons actually wrote this song based on notebooks that were found
and
things like that.
Yeah,
right?
Memorabilia in their collection partly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it could be.
It could be.
But it is credited to Jagger Richards.
That is correct. And I think in many ways wasn't too upset about them taking the songwriting credit, because what he got from his relationship with Keith and the Stones meant a lot more to him than just some song he had written, because he had written a lot of songs. But, you know, that sort of elevated him in a lot of ways. And they were generally, I think, soulmates for the most part.
And whether or not that's true, whatever, you definitely hear Gram Parsons' influence on their sound
in this era.
And it's becoming what now you might think of as sort of alt country, you know, with what they were doing.
Exactly.
So for sure.
Exactly right.
I will just say that I did not have this on my top 10, although I think it's absolutely tremendous song. And I think it's because at the end of the day, you know, what we were asking people for was their 10 favorite songs, not to think of the 10 best.
Right.
Because if it was the 10 best, this would be on my list for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is absolutely one of the best written songs of all time.
Yeah.
Everything about it is just kind of perfect. I would put this as a perfect pop selection.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because it's like, you really can't change anything about this and make it better.
And it's heart-wrenching, too. I mean, it just hits you
the
right where you live.
The lyrics are awesome. Everything's great. Mick's singing is great on this.
Unbelievable.
Got that incredible feeling to it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
It just melts into your brain. It's so good.
Yeah. And I think it's popular with the ladies, too, because of that sentiment.
Yep.
You know, Wild Horses Couldn't Drag Me Away.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, everybody wants to feel like that, right?
Yep.
Any Wild Horses fans here in the gallery want to speak up? Julie Snyder.
Again, what can I say? I love it. Just loved it. I had to have this on my list. And again, another ballad. And I don't know what else to say. It's just, it just hit me.
Yeah, it does.
It makes you think of your relationship with Mike.
It does.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
And can I just say, Julie, I mean, this is the end of our fourth day in Mike Wagner's basement. You still smell wonderful, by the way.
Thank you.
Compared to everybody else, especially. That's right.
All right. So tomorrow we reveal the top three.
Three, two, one. We're at the top of the count.
Three. All right. All right. Let's get out of here. Let's do that.
All right.
Everybody ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. All right, this show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I am Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, then you get what you need.